Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
All right, welcome back to the third hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barline's. Chase McCabe off. Dr. Crane with me here at Omni. And Brando behind the board. Fun show. The interaction of you guys are great. Our question of the day is, if you had a bunch of soccer fans come in town, where's one spot in Nashville and Middle Tennessee you would take them? We have so many fantastic answers. You guys are just wonderful. Let's bring in our good friend who's been with us since last October, Greg Wyshynski. He's the NHL writer for ESPN.com. Greg, good afternoon. How are we?
I'm good. You know, I've been enjoying the World Cup not only because of the competition, but because I think it's the first one we've had under, like, the boom of legalized sports gambling. So thank you to Congo for their first period goal, first half goal yesterday. Did me good.
Well, that's good. We've been laughing about, Greg, about all the Europeans who are, like, in middle America because they know New York and they know Miami and they know L.A., but they're discovering Buc-ee's and these huge, you know, Waffle House, these restaurants. Yeah. And it's just – it's mesmerizing us because they love it and, like, we kind of take it for granted.
We do, and I've been enjoying some of the dispatches from people taking photos of, like, going to Waffle House. Of course, they're going at, like, 2 in the afternoon. Morning, like you're supposed to go to Waffle House, but you know, it's been fun to see, and so far it looks like everybody's having a good time. I mean, it's always an interesting event insofar as like fan behavior and stuff like that, but the vibes are good so far. Maybe in the knockout round they won't be, but right now they're good.
Absolutely are. All right, let's wrap up the Stanley Cup. Of course, Carolina beats Vegas 4-2. And it's so hard not to root for Jordan Staal. I mean, he became the first player who's won cups with a 17-year difference. And just, Greg, his emotion after the win in Game 6 was like, that's somebody, even if you don't like hockey, that's a guy you get behind. You saw the passion in this hockey team. Did the right team win the Stanley Cup?
Oh, easily. I mean, they earned it. You know, I think the secret to their success was how quickly they made it through the Eastern Conference. I mean, the bare minimum number of games you can play is 12, and, you know, they played 13. So, I mean, like, they were rested and ready. By the end of the Stanley Cup Final, you could see which team had their legs and which team was healthier as Vegas was kind of falling apart. But you know, Jordan Staal is a lot like Rod Brindamore in the sense that they've been there forever and they've, you know, tried to push through to win a conference title. It didn't happen the season. And then finally they've got the right mix of players to bring home the cup. And he wasn't my vote for MVP. I thought Taylor Hall should have won the Conn Smythe. But in a year where Brindamore as a coach breaks through and wins his first cup, it's only appropriate that Staal wins the MVP. He's kind of like Brindamore 2.0, you know, defensive forward, hard-nosed guy, you know, chips in offensively when necessary. So there's a certain, I guess, symbolism in him winning the MVP.
Chase and I were talking the other day, Greg, about how Carolina's built to come back. They got a little money under the cap. A lot of their core guys are signed. Are they the favorite for the 27 season?
They very well could be. I mean, like you said, it's cap space. The, you know, they do have some older players in Staal and Sebastian Aho and Slavin and a couple others that are getting up there in years. But then you look at Jarvis and, you know, Stankoven and Blake and all these guys that were on that roster that just won the cup, and they're all kids. So they've got a nice second wave of talent coming through. And you know, like I wrote about this after they won the cup in my story about Rod Brindamore and Eric Spoelstra, their GM. They just got really smart management too. A management team that's not going to rest on having the cup. They're always looking to get better. They're always looking to be aggressive. Heck, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see them make a big move for a goaltender this offseason, even though they just had the, you know, Brandon Bussey story in the final. They're always looking to get better, and I think they're going to obviously be a real force in the East next season again.
Greg, has Vegas become the bad guys in NHL? And I say this because there's not a single person I know that wanted Vegas to win the Stanley Cup because they said they've had it too easy since they've come into the league. But there was like this pure disdain for Vegas. Do you feel that, or is this just a kind of a small thing going around?
Well, I wrote about it today on ESPN.com. The story is, are the Golden Knights evil? And I asked some of their players, and I asked some opposing players, and I asked some executives around the league, because it's not simply just like the jealousy over the way the expansion draft set them up. It's also the way they kind of treat their players once they're done with them. I mean, you know, there's a legions of stories of guys that were treated extremely poorly on the way out. Like once they're done with you, really done with you. And then there's the whole Carter Hart thing with him being their goaltender a few months after being on trial for sexual assault. And, you know, the arrogance with which they carry themselves, the do-si-do they're doing with Bruce Cassidy, where they fire the guy and don't allow him to interview for certain jobs. Like, there's a long laundry list of things that people don't like about the Golden Knights. The players I asked in the story all kind of said the same thing, which is the means justify the ends, in the sense that, like, they're successful. You know, they win. They've been in the playoffs all but 1 year of their existence, and they've been to the Cup final now multiple times and won one cup. So a lot of players say, hey, look, you know, as much as their reputation is what it is, and as much as the a lot of people consider them to be an evil franchise, I think Jack Eichel said it best the other day, there aren't a lot of players in this league they're going to have Vegas on their no trade list at the end of the day.
Greg Wyshynski is on the line with us. Greg, when it comes to here in Nashville, the Chris McFarlane era is definitely underway. He made an appearance on SiriusXM Radio talking about Andrew Burnett's job here as the coach. He's made a trade already. They've hired on two more people to that front office. Just what have you liked so far out of the Chris McFarlane era for the Nashville Predators?
Well, I think he's surrounded himself with some really good people. Like, I'm a big fan of Rob Blake and what he did with the LA Kings. I think that's a guy who could really lend some sage advice about running a team, because kind of ran the show along with Luke Robitaille with LA. Jamie Langenbrunner is a guy that a lot of teams were interested in insofar as acumen in the front office. And so him in Nashville and joining this collective in the front office is great news. And again, it's not just Chris coming in and trying to just be the grand poobah, you know, getting to run his own show for the first time. He's surrounding himself with people with experience that are going to have opinions, that are going to try to, you know, mold and shape the plan for the future. And that's a brilliant thing. So look, the Brunette thing, I think we all knew was going to play out the way it did based on his contract and based on the fact that, you know, the last thing McFarlane wants to do is come in here and immediately replace the coach. You know, GMs kind of wait to fire that bullet a little bit later, right? Because you only get so many of them. And so, not a surprise there, but so far I've been really impressed with the team that McFarlane's building out in the front office.
Yeah, do you expect anybody else to be hired on in that front office?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they've got their bases covered pretty well. I mean, look, there's always going to be within the organization when somebody comes in to run the show, whether that's in player development, scouting, all sorts of places. I think Chris said when he got hired that, you know, he was going to do a full evaluation of the team and the franchise and just see where there could be places that could be improved or maybe change the mix a little bit. So, you know, I'm sure more changes will be afoot, but it's a pretty crowded front office as it is right now with those three guys, and I think they're all really good at what they do.
Yeah, and obviously the Preds have a few young players they can build around, one being Matthew Wood, you could say Reed Schaefer. And then obviously this trade takes place not too long ago with one of the places he's been at, and it was recently, it was the Colorado Avalanche, in getting forward Ross Colton and goaltender Isak Posch. I believe that's his last name properly, I pronounced it. But what did you think about that trade? Is that a good trade for the Preds, and also just, I'd say, one of those – I would say stamps as being the true president of hockey ops for the Nashville Predators and Chris McFarlane?
Yeah, it was an okay trade. I mean, like, I think the Avs needed to get Colton off their books because they've got some other matters to worry about when it comes to the salary cap. I like him. I think he's a good grinder, a good player, got some offensive upside, and and certainly sort of fits with the aesthetic that I think the Predators are trying to build with their roster. But, you know, when it comes to moves, that's going to be the real fascinating part with McFarland is what does he do with these veteran players that are on the roster that have some trade protection that, you know, have been rumored to be moving at some point for a while now. You know, I think about his time in Colorado and the fact that this guy was pretty bold in cutting ties with veteran players, in particular Mikko Rantanen, when he was looking for a new contract. So I think he comes in with an idea of where he wants to take this roster, and, you know, we'll see how many of these veteran players are a part of that plan moving forward.
You mentioned bold there. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. What is your bold roster prediction for this Nashville Predators team under Chris McFarland?
I'm always trying to figure out what Stamkos wants to do, so I'm not going to make a prediction there, but I think it's probably time for Jonathan Marchessault to move on for both the team and for him. I think that he's got something to offer for contending teams, being someone who has a playoff MVP to his credit. It's probably time, and it's just a matter of trying to find the right fit. Heck, who knows? Maybe Vegas swings the doors back open for a guy that was a beloved player back in the day. Who's to say?
Interesting with that. Let me ask you this. You know, this is Bill Haslam, I think, what, his second full year being the majority owner of the Nashville Predators, and now McFarland comes in. Is there this sense, because I got this feeling, Greg, it's kind of like McFarland is reaching out to all these guys like, hey, come to Nashville, let's have some fun. And that being said, is that Bill Haslam's kind of like, go make us winners. I don't care what you do. Let's go win. I got a feeling that McFarland and these guys he's bringing in, Greg, it's kind of like, let's get reinvested in the game of hockey, and I think we can do it in Nashville. That's the feeling I get right now, because there's a lot of good buzz around Chris McFarland and what the Nashville Predators seem to be able to do.
Yeah, I think people just want to get an autograph football from Nick Saban. That's why. I think that's probably the reason this is all
right.
Happening. No, man, there's something to the fact that you've got somebody in place that has a lot of respect. And I'll say this about Bill Haslam and the job that they did in the search. Like, there's been a ton of other teams that on these, like, we're hiring a search firm kind of situations in this league, Toronto being the most recent one. And in a lot of cases, the end result is sort of underwhelming. In this case, like, McFarland's a guy that has a ton of respect around the league. And I think a lot of people, were surprised that he'd leave Colorado. But then when you think about, you know, the position that he took in Nashville and what he would have never gotten in Colorado with Joe Sakic there, it kind of makes sense. But, like, this guy's a rock star. I mean, he's a guy that's helped build a championship team as an assistant GM and certainly has done some really great stuff as a GM. And so for them, for the end result of their search to be getting a guy that, you know, more than half the league would have died to have come and take over their team, I think it's really impressive.
I thought Haslam said the day, he's like, you know, we'd start this search with CAA. There was a problem, and, you know, we had to take it down and move on. But he said, I took note of Chris McFarland on that first initial list. I said, we need to keep this guy in mind. And the fact, it seems like he was their guy all along, and they waited, and they got the right guy. And Haslam was – we had him on right after that, Greg. He was so giddy to get this guy. And I was like, all right, there's something good happening here. And it just – I don't know. The vibe that day with Haslam and with Sean Henry and then with Chris McFarland, it's like, all right, this is a new chapter for the Predators, and it seems to be a pretty damn good one we got going forward.
For sure. I mean, you know, usually when you're hiring a GM, it's somebody who's, you know, a retread or, you know, like in the case of, like I mentioned, Toronto, they hired a guy in John Chyka who was the GM of the Arizona Coyotes. They didn't do anything while he was there, and then he takes a bunch of time off and comes back, and he's the GM in Toronto. McFarland's being plucked from a team that was in the conference final, that the President's Trophy with the best record. And so, you know, he comes in with a bit of gravitas and somebody who's got, like, upward momentum in his career, where other teams are just trying to, like, you know, find somebody who's available, you know what I mean? So, like, they had hunted him. They did a great job selling him on the team and the franchise. And luckily for them, you know, Colorado was willing to let him go, which is, as the Edmonton Oilers have found out from the Vegas Golden Knights and their coaching search, is not always guaranteed in this league.
Yeah, no, you're right. This time next week, it will be the NHL draft. Will be here. Where is the draft next week? I forgot.
It's in Buffalo this year.
Buffalo. So I guess you'll be heading up midweek?
Potentially. I don't know. The problem with the draft is that they're doing this whole You know, they do it like the NFL now, where all the teams are drafting from their own like buildings. And so the value of being there and getting a chance to talk to all these GMs on the site has diminished a little bit. So I'm not sure what my dance card looks like for next week, but needless to say, it's going to be super busy. There's already been some trades happening. There's always a lot of rumors floating around about guys. And then obviously right after the draft, we go into July 1st, the thing of free agency, which again, it's not a pool, it's a puddle, but there's still right. significant players available that could make a difference for teams.
Well, enjoy your 2 days off before it starts again for you, Greg. We appreciate you, man, as always. Thank you for your time and have a great weekend, buddy.
Anytime.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.